Names Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster by, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Metro Radio. At least we got rid of that fog and mist from yesterday. Lovely day today. Wednesday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. We're Man in Line, open line today through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Following on from yesterday's programme, do you remember we were talking about the Bucks Road church that was there, the Methodist church, Primitive Methodist church, and what it used to be? I've had various suggestions about whatever happened to the church. It's a huge building. You know, it really does dominate the lower part of Bucks Road. What did it used to be? Bob said it used to be the Milk Marketing Board. Wow. And it's been the subject of all sorts of development over the past few years. 10, 20 odd years. And I'll be interested to know when it actually closed. Talking about the panther yesterday and the two sightings of the panther that used to be in the Black Panther. Now, someone else must have seen it. Did you see the Black Panther? What happened to it? Did it clear off? Did it? The feral redneck wallabies were abandoned pets about the same time as the panther was seen, says David. Well, of course, the wallabies leapt over the fence, didn't they, from the wildlife park, and now there are, what, 400-500 of the darn things there. But as for the panther, who knows? Maybe the wallabies saw it out. Robots, we're talking about robots yesterday. Robots do lots of jobs today. If you're talking about human-like robots, which won't be long coming, says Des. Yeah, remember, this is 50-odd years since that TV show. Do you remember Tomorrow's World with Raymond Baxter and James Burke and people like that on it that said robots were going to be doing everything? Like, robots will be in the kitchen. Hasn't happened. Hasn't happened, has it? Robots will be cleaning the house. Hasn't happened. Robots will be cleaning windows. Hasn't happened. So I do understand that, you know, robots and AI does all sorts of stuff, but it'll only take a few mistakes before it's all seen as a bit of a bad idea. They say that AI will get rid of accountants. Most accountants will be seen off by it, but it will only take one big mistake, won't it, where somebody's millions of pounds out for it. But anyway, if you've got anything to add to that debate, whether robots will be around, I mean, the nearest thing we've got to a kind of big robot on the Isle of Man is the automatic car wash. That's it. Robots don't drive taxis. These self-driving things. Can you imagine a self-driving taxi at Quarterbridge? Can you imagine what would happen there? Or on Crellin's Hill? The future for robots on the Isle of Man. We'll see. But never mind the panthers. What about the foxes? There aren't any foxes on the Isle of Man. Jom. Are there foxes on the Isle of Man? A message in from Gary saying, candidates for MHK are all saying that their priorities are health, housing and education. Well, that's a given, yet candidates aren't saying they'll reduce the size of government or the welfare state. There's no mention of a focus on delivering cheap rather than clean electricity. One sitting MHK in an interview even said a wind farm would help maintain prices. But we have the highest prices in Europe. So it doesn't inspire much optimism for the future. Well, without mentioning any names, I just wonder what you think of the broadcast that we do before Man in Line. Every day now we're broadcasting half-hour interviews with prospective MHKs. The candidates are on. They get the time to say what they want. It's that they can pitch their ideas to you, the electorate. And I just wonder what you think. You get the picture with some of them. Suddenly, it's not going to be as easy as they thought. And a message also, this one says, regarding Joe's, was it not Smoky Joe's on Victoria Street when Dandara is now? Owned by Mike, used to have the furniture shops. You remember Mike? Didn't he go swimming every day? Didn't he dive into the harbour every day? Was it Alan Goff? And became the Peppermint Palace. We were talking about Joe's Bar. Thank you, Val. But it was Joe's Bar on Strand Street, the one run by Alf Gray, the photographic set that was there. The Fritzy in Farm Hill said, look, the best option for these green living grants and what have you is to provide solar panel subsidies to the public along the energy efficiency scheme. There's a quicker solution to wind farm debate, which will take 5 years before the final instalments. Solar panels are less noticeable, they're efficient and easy to install. They last a long time and they only require daylight. Of course, it works even when the sun isn't shining. Seems that the Isle of Man government incoming need to be persuaded to follow a simple and long-term energy-saving system and source of power for residents. And Fritzy says it is solar panels. So provide solar panels to the public. What, free? Wow. The Green Party person is dreaming if he thinks we'll ever have cheap electricity. I've not heard anybody saying that the turbines are making electricity cheaper for them. Well, the Green Party spokesman will say, well, they were going to quiz the Manx utilities to say where they've got with their green initiatives and how far they are off target. And again, come back to electricity. You know what always happens when we talk about electricity, and it is the one figure that I suggest you chalk on your chicken, on your kitchen wall, and your chicken wall as well, 29p. How much is our electricity going to be? Our electricity is very expensive, relatively. Of course, we are an affluent island, so maybe they think we can afford 29p per kilowatt hour. Well, lots of people can, but some people can't. So in the future, I don't know whether you remember, but an MHK said ages and ages ago that if they pitched the pitch for the wind farms, if they said that electricity was going to be, shall we say, 10p per kilowatt hour, that everybody'd vote for it straight away. So do you think that would be an idea? That MHK was Laurie Hooper, who's standing in Ramsey. Also standing in Ramsey, Joe McGuinness, Robert Cowell and Janine Shimmin. But Laurie Hooper said that will be a way to get the public on board. Cheap electricity. Now, whether or not you think that would ever happen, whether or not we would get cheap electricity, well. And also yesterday, talking about the Insurance Fund, the National Insurance Fund, and the Chris Thomas, the Treasury Minister, says that money is the bedrock for Social Security, pensions and NHS allocations. He doesn't believe people should be troubled by reports that it could be depleting. The National Insurance Fund is sacrosanct. Well, Lee dropped a note in to say, I've worked all my life, and the contract when I started working in the 1980s prescribed that I could retire and access my pension at the age of 65. And without consultation, and certainly without my agreement, it's moved to 67 years. And there's talk of it going to 68 years. I wonder if the government is in breach of contract. It's just a thought, says Lee. Well, they can change things, can't they? That's within their remit to do things like that. Chris Thomas, by the way, is standing in Douglas Central. Chris Thomas is standing for re-election in Douglas Central. Also standing in Douglas Central, Andrea Kruger, Anne Corlett, Peter Shimmin and Devon Watson. So let's hear from Chris Thomas, MHK. The National Insurance Fund on the Isle of Man should be sacrosanct and we shouldn't be worried.
We have £1.2 billion in our National Insurance Fund. Northern Ireland, GB, decades ago, stopped having an investment account as part of their National Insurance Fund. They pay as you go for everything. So that's I've always just said that £1.2 billion is bedrock for Social Security and pensions. Yes, Alistair Ramsay is right. The more you pay out of it for state pension, the more pressure will be put on that bedrock fund. But people shouldn't be troubled. The latest estimate was that the fund is there itself until into the 24th. 40s. That's a long time away still, and we will look at it. In fact, I announced a few months ago that we brought forward by a year the next five-yearly actuarial review, and one of the first jobs for the new for the next Treasury Minister will be engaging with Government Actuaries Department to work out what questions we need answered, and one of those will be the extent to which the triple lock is putting pressure on our own national insurance system.
So you're saying that we are a solid base and we shouldn't worry?
I'm saying that we've got a solid fund that's a bedrock for future pensions and for Social Security and for the NHS allocation that comes out of it. What I would also say, though, is that what troubled me most in the last administration, the time that Alistair Ramsay was mentioning in his interview, was when Dr. Allenson took to Tynwald, which I read as saying that £1.2 billion of national insurance funds, earmarked inside the national insurance system, was available for other purposes. And I fought against that. That can't be right. It's there for national insurance. It's people's contributions over the years.
So it's sacrosanct in your view?
To me, it's absolutely sacrosanct. And just because we've got loads more than they have in the general in Great Britain and Northern Ireland, it doesn't mean we can take it for other purposes.
What do you think on this? And you just wonder. I mean, that £1.2 billion, presumably that's not sitting in a current account. That'll be sitting in an investment account. So presumably, if it is, we'll be getting interest off that per year. I don't know, 2%, 3% on £1.2 billion, if it is, in fact, an investment account. So what does that go back in, or does that get spent, you wonder? Andy dropped a note in. Thank you, Andy, who just said, which is the priority for the Isle of Man energy independence via solar PV or the environmental badge via offshore wind? Why don't we hear the debate and argument going on between the two from government, says Andy. The Bucks Road Church says Sammy was bought by the current development builders, I think for $300,000. There was a slight upset amongst the builders on the site. So why was work halted? We don't know why. So we'll see. Who knows what's happening at the Bucks Road Church? Big building, very impressive building. Regarding the 29p per kilowatt hour, the price will never be cheaper. That's not how life works. What a wind farm would do is slow the pace of inflation. Why? 623. If you could give me a compelling argument as to why, and why can't we cut the price of electricity? Laurie Hooper said, if we made it 10p, everybody would be rushing towards the wind farms, wouldn't we, if it were 10p? Any thoughts? Supermarkets are trialling robots for stock checking and cleaning. Robots are used for food delivery in Wetherspoons. There's one that poodles around, isn't there? I mean, they haven't got a team of them. That's a gimmick, isn't it? A human has to be with them. And robots are carrying out operations on cancer patients, but again, a human surgeon has to be with them, says Suen Balaf. It's my point. So the spiel that they've been peddling for years and years about robots taking over doesn't happen. I mean, there are certain times, and obviously in car production, there have been lots and lots of robots since the end of the 1970s. Doesn't make any difference in England, though. They don't make any cars anymore. Only the Japanese make cars in England, don't they? Toyota in Derby and Nissan in Washington, Tyne and Wear. So, yeah, where will the robots be? Maybe we'll have robot-controlled horse trams. There you are, robot horses on the... Now, that would be a first, wouldn't it? Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
I was looking out here on the carnival float on Pet Peel on Sunday, Andy. Didn't see you there.
Sadly, no. I was washing my hair.
You washed my... That would have taken all day. And Stuart at the Castle Russian told me on Saturday it was the birthday of John Kewish, the last man to be hanged at Castle Russian in 1872. And they put a rose out on the bench for him. So it was on Saturday. You could say he was the last hung man in Castletown, couldn't you?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, indeed. What was the kerfuffle last week at the Onkin Commissioners there, Andy? Was Quirky having a fight up there or something?
Don't know anything about it, to be quite honest. I think we've all heard what we've heard and nothing else has happened, as far as I know.
Oh, Right. I know Tyson Fury's looking for an opponent for an Alaman fight. I thought Davey might be up for it there. And this Russ Foster said he couldn't charge him with anything because his batteries were already 95% charged. So
okay,
right. There you go. And just talking about freight charges today, Andy, come to the Isle of Man. I had a delivery come in, and it should have gone to Northern Ireland. But when I started checking the prices here of the freight, now bearing in mind that both pallets come from the UK, and they're both on freight journeys, so the time going to Ireland is a lot more than what it is to ours going to Lawn. And the price of a pallet to come to the Isle of Man is over £200. And the same pallet going over to Northern Ireland from the UK is £120. So my question here is, what was the steam packet bought for? Is it bought for a cash cow? Or was it bought with taxpayers' money to service the people of the island and the Isle of Man?
What do you think?
Well, I think the figures speak for themselves. I know money has got to be put aside for new investment, but surely that must be the same for the other company. Now, that's a 10-hour journey, I think, going over from Heysham to Lawn, and we've got a 5-hour journey coming over to the Isle of Man at night time, or four-hour journey. So that's a big difference. Now, that's going to go into our economy. The price of bringing stuff over to the Isle of Man obviously goes on everyone's bills, because the price of the end product is the consumer that's paying for it. So that's a lot. And people come on and say about struggling for costs, keeping businesses open. And this has got a lot to do with it. And this should be borne in mind by any future government coming through as to, you know, what was the remit that that government gave the arm's length company? Was it make as much money as possible, pay off the debt as quick as possible? What was it bought for, Andy? You know, because like you say, the government's got no money per se. It's all taxpayers' money that they utilise and use. So why are we paying this kind of money?
Well, I mean, the government bought the steam packet, I think, for two reasons. One, to secure our routes, to make sure that, because, of course, it had gone from pillar to post, from company to company, ever since sea containers got rid of it, ever since sea containers kind of went, it had gone from pillar to post, and it was getting a bit unreliable. And at least we don't have the problems that they have in Jersey with Condor Ferries. They're always having problems with Condor Ferries, either going out of business or going bust or not paying the harbour dues and what have you. So the steam packet's one of those success stories that kind of just burbles along in the background. And particularly the Ben McCree, the much maligned Ben McCree, which everybody hated when it first came, but has turned out to be very, very reliable. So I think, and obviously, you're quite right, the steam packet is a cash cow. And we are the captives, if you like. We're the hostages, because we can't go to anybody else. We're the ones who have to pay. Feel sorry for the people who have to pay the freight charges, because it's an awful lot of money for people who are bringing trailers over. But that's the reason. The government knew it was a cash cow and they bought it on our behalf, but also partially to secure the route. And thank the Lord they did, because can you imagine what would have happened during COVID?
Well, taking the COVID thing out of it, and I know from being in Guernsey, I think that they had the sister ship up the Ben McCree, Condor had that, didn't they? I think they were using it on the Guernsey route.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it coming in and out at Guernsey. I see your points. I think going back to when I think Alf Cannon was the Treasury Minister, and I think, was it 230 that was paid for the steam packet originally? And again, the question has to be asked there on taxpayers' money as value for money, because the steam packet then, all it really had that was of any value was the user agreement, which they got off the government anyway.
Yeah.
And two old ships. So 230, I think they were screwed to the wall with that one. Sharp business people, with the threat that they could destabilise the sailings to the island. But, you know, the steam packet has been a very expensive toy for us. Yes, it has given us stability, but, you know, my point point still stands is it's the local person down the line here that's paying exorbitantly for it through charges. So, you know, just trying to decipher is it all the steam packet or are the freight companies sticking extra charges on?
Well, yeah, I mean, anybody who brings anything in through the steam packet will be passing that charge on, whether it's been estimated anywhere between 10 and 17% will be because of freight charges. And that's, you know, and we're hostage to it because we all want fresh food, fresh bread, fresh this, fresh that. All the builders want materials and what have you. Everybody wants stuff that's going to be brought across. So, you know, we want the modern life, and the modern life includes the steam packet bringing it to us.
No, and I understand that. It's a business, but when you're paying nearly 100% more to get your product to, I mean, like say, Ireland is the same as us. It needs imports, but they're paying, you know, such a lot less to get their product over there. They have the same cost, the same shipping costs, same marine fuel costs as what we have, and it's a longer journey. So, you know, I'd just like to know, in fairness, you know, where we're heading with the steam packet, you know, considering the amount of businesses that we have here who are now struggling through you know, surcharges and costs and everything. Yeah. It would be interesting if we can get some kind of answer from
Well, the problem be, of course, you know, it's not FOIable. The steam packet company doesn't have to respond to Freedom of Information requests.
And there's another point, Andy, coming on to that quickly, the FOIs and charging for FOIs, which I think it's just Castletown that's announced at that at the moment. And again, if you're going to charge for FOIs, well, let's have them unredacted, because people are now applying for FOIs to get information. And obviously they want information because the government has been so secretive about things. But when they come, half the FOIs are wasted anyway because they're redacted. I think the price of felt tip black markers in the government must be astronomical for the amount of reductions.
All right.
So, well, you know, let's have some information. If you're going to pay for it, let's have the information as well.
Right. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. All right, let's take... And David's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi. My demise is not... I thank those people who actually responded to me by phone or personally knows me. And I'm not that sort of person. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, I just want to ask you, because Julian was talking about redacted FOIs. I've seen some of your FOIs. They're all black.
Yeah. Well, you want to see some of the... What do you mean from the commissioners?
No, the ones from government and what have you. Some of the FOIs that get... And they come back... They've just about got the date on the top and everything else is redacted.
Well, one of them was from was still a politician in Onken there. I couldn't believe it. The whole page was... There was two pages, black, and it just said the date and to David, and that was it. It needs to be sorted out, and especially too, you're talking about the steam packet, just slipping in there now is, what are all these candidates saying? I've got an interview with the CEO of the steam packet. Can you send me your questions and I'll get the answers? Well, why can't he answer people directly? You know, there's two sides of a coin, isn't there? You either do it or you don't do it. And why do you... Because there's an election on. It's sucking up to candidates just in case they get in, as far as I'm concerned. Sorry to be on that. And before my fan says anything, I've got 50% in the battery and I'm producing 2 kilowatts.
Okay.
And you look at all the government buildings that could be done with PV panels. I know they're doing a few. Look at all those schools, which are going to be lying empty now until September, could be producing electricity to the grid and helping us out. But we need to get the chief executive from Manx Utilities on the show and just say to him, because he's not an election candidate, he's a civil servant, and he's the head of the civil servant, is, what's the policy of Manx Utilities? Why can't certain people have PV panels put in their street? Is because other people have got PV panels in there. And the cables can't stand it. You know, that's not our fault, is it, Andy?
No.
That's the fault of the... the issue.
What do you know about this dredger?
Oh, the dredger. I was going to say, somebody sent me the video of the dredger. It's not a dredger. It's what we call the water buffalo. It's called the Terra Ushti. That's the only thing I know in Manx and a few other things as well. And all it does do, it drags a bag or a log up and down and disturbs the silt. But are we getting to the bottom of what's gone on in the harbour? And the other issue there too is, what's happening with the RNLI about the station down there?
Nobody knows.
Well, that's such a sad thing for us in the Isle of Man, when the guy that invented the RNLI was here, and what we got the terror refuge for.
Well, the fact is, the old lifeboat house looks a very, very forlorn sight. It looks like it's about to drop into the harbour.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going on. And it's with the DOI, isn't it? So indirectly, we haven't had any statements from the government perspective on that to find out what's happening with it.
Hmm.
I know the other stations are covering it, so there's no panic. But you look at now, the good weather's on, and all the kids are running around, probably jumping into harbours, and you can't do that. But we don't want a tragedy, do we? Anything at all? We don't want that.
No.
Anything at all on that.
Okay.
And can I say, for a big plug, that Onkin AFC are having a car boot sale on Sunday at Blackberry Lane. So, Andy, if you come up, because I notice you've got a bit of a cough there, I'll buy you a cup of tea and I'll maybe get you the blue ribbon or something like that.
What time does it start on Sunday?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, car boot sale.
10 o'clock.
That's on Blackberry Lane, isn't it?
Blackberry Lane, yeah. The grass is all cut because that's been done. And it's greener than some of the places I know that's around the island at the minute.
Okay.
So I must be doing a good job.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
Thanks for calling today.
See you, boy.
All right, 29 minutes before one. Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Is Juren still listening, I wonder?
Probably, yes.
Oh, right. Well, Juren, old chap, okay. Just go and sit down now. Are you sitting comfortably, Juren? Right, good. I'll begin. I'm phoning to agree with him.
I think he's passed out.
Yes. Somebody don't give him a brandy or something and some smelling salts. Before he has to lie on the chaise lounge long for the afternoon. I'm agreeing with him about the steam packet. Firstly, we paid far too much for it. And Jim's quite right to point out that actually what the steam packet was worth at the time was the fact that it had a monopoly license in the sea services agreement, and it had the two boats and I think a little bit of property still somewhere. So 30 million, let's say. All right, being a bit generous, you might think about paying 50 million for it, right? But we paid 120 million for it. The difference, of course, between 50 million and 120 million getting on for the entire cost of the Manxman. We were seen that we were coming from a long way away there. But also when you're talking about the steam packet, it is absolutely fundamental to the Isle of Man's social and economic existence. If we didn't have that, we'd be like St. Kilda there about 30 years. Now, you've got to be able to supply regularly all the things we need supplied, and also be able to take what we do manufacture and such off the island to go to the external markets. And people have to be able to come and go as part of things. So, it is literally, as we say, a lifeline service. And unfortunately, we treat it like a conventional company. Because, of course, it is owned at arm's length. People go, oh, yeah, but the Isle of Man people own the steam packet. No, we don't. No, we do not. The Isle of Man Treasury owns 100% of the shares in a limited company called the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company Limited. The Isle of Man Steam Packet is a totally separate entity. No, it's like any other company, except, of course, that we own all the shares. or should I say the Treasury owns all the shares for and on behalf of us. But it means that it has to operate like an ordinary company. And one of the things that it legally has to do is maximise its return to shareholders. And that's why they will keep charging as much as they can. You can say that that is, we bought it for a cash cow, but also, of course, the thing is, it has a legal obligation to be a cash cow, which it wouldn't if it was nationalised.
Right.
It would be able then to be used as it should be, as an arm of social and economic policy, you know, to make the, you know, we cut some of the fares, you know, to encourage tourism, we cut some of the freight charges to encourage trade. All these things that we say, oh, why don't the steam packet do X, Y, and Z? Well, they would be able to if there was nationalisation, because you'd be able to make stuff.
And what sort of entity would it? What sort of entity would it have to be, Bonzo, for that instance?
Like Busvanin.
Right.
Because Busvanin was nationalised from various companies, wasn't it? It was from Manx Transport Services and also the Corby buses.
Right.
No, but then integrated into that.
So you make it a statutory body.
Yeah, and also, of course, it would then be subject to FOIs. It's not subject to FOIs because of the fact that it is a corporate entity and it doesn't have to, you know, to answer such things.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the chance of that happening?
Well, with the economy going the way it is, I'd say about 6 and rising.
Right. Good. Okay.
It's certainly something I'd recommend to all election candidates.
Bonzo, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers. Bye.
23 minutes to 1. Just note that date down in your diary. Wednesday, August the 5th. Bonzo agreed with Dewan.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
Here at Qplas, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Qplas supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Qplas on Snugborough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Qplas.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im. You've never
got no money because of all. Jamie Webster is coming to the Villa Marina on Friday, the 25th of September. On a weekend in paradise. The Liverpool singer-songwriter has become one of the UK's most celebrated folk-inspired indie artists, with 3 top 10 albums and a reputation for powerful live performances. After playing to tens of thousands at Sefton Park and consecutive appearances at Glastonbury, Jamie's bringing his latest UK tour to the Isle of Man. Don't miss Jamie Webster live at the Villa Marina on Friday the 25th of September. Tickets are available now at villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555.
The House of Keys general election is on Thursday, the 24th of September, and Manx Radio is helping you get to know the people asking for your vote. From Monday, the 31st of August, join us for our live constituency debates, hosted at Studio One by ELS Group, where every candidate standing will be invited to take part. Want to be there? Well, just visit the Manx Radio election mini-site, find the date of your constituency debate, and apply for your free audience ticket. Find all the details at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 20 to 1. It's Wednesday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. But Wolfie said, I agree with Bonzo. Crikey, everybody's agreeing with everybody. We did pay far too much for the steam packet, far too much by far. It would have been better off to get an outside company to tender for the agreement. Look at the efficiency of Mezzerin. Who owns, is it Dola now own Mezzerin, don't they? The thing Bonzo forgot in his cost analysis is the pension liability for the steam packet employees, which will probably dwarf everything. Yes, the steam packet pension liability. I don't agree with residents being charged for an FOI to anybody, including government agencies and commissioners. Seems to me that the issue is self-borne. The only way for media organisations to get transparent answers and information from bodies is through comprehensive FOI requests. Now, if bodies, departments, agencies, arms, reach entities and commissioners adopt a more transparent policies for engaging with media requests, this is from Jason on WhatsApp, then surely the cost to produce an FOI would no longer be an issue. The biggest issue I see with FOI is how willingly government departments claim exemptions due to commercial sensitivity. These have been challenged multiple times through the ICO and then orders made to release information duplicating work. This goes back to the same principle, unwillingness to be transparent. Talking of historical buildings, the old courthouse in Ramsey's just gone to a private owner. Oh, how we miss our once police station and post office. Times change, says Francis. What's renewable about a solar panel, says Ian on the WhatsApp. Everything required to make these products comes out of the ground. Rare earth minerals, silica. Once its lifespan of 20 to 30 years is up, it goes back into the ground for landfill. What are we going to do on the island with 100,000 renewable redundant solar panels in 20 or 30 years, and will we replace them with something? Well, who knows? Somebody may have dreamt out how to renew them by then. Laurie Hooper's talking rubbish. I would quite happily pay high prices for electricity if it means our island isn't littered and destroying our sea life with horrible wind farms. John says, self-service tills at Tesco are tax evasion and no staff, no tax, another way to increase their £1 billion profit margin. These are the self-service. Do you like those self-service tills? Can you cope with them? Bucks Road was bought to develop into apartments, but the developer had problems, says Texter 951. We bring materials onto the Isle of Man. We only pay £130 a pallet, not £200, says Texter 223. And the Isle of Man Milk Marketing Association did have offices at Bucks Road Church at the time the dairy was in Spring Gardens. I'm not certain, but when the creamery opened up at Tremode, would the offices have moved there then? That was about 1975, Pete says on WhatsApp. So the Milk Marketing Association used to be at Bucks Road Church. And Texter 828 said Bucks Road Church was on what was called Merton Bank. It was the Agriculture House. The Manx NFU union officers and insurance were there. Also the marketing, Isle of Man Marketing Society with its various branches for milk, spuds, meat and agrimark and what have you. The meetings and offices were there under the Chief Secretary Henry Robinson. The creamery moved from Spring Gardens to Tremode in 1974. Well done, 828. Not sure when they moved the offices from Bucks Road. I think it's funny that the person who wanted relaxation of work permits now posts in his bid to get re-elected for stronger work permits. Who's he trying to kid? He voted for visa regulations giving them out to private operators, says Mark on the text. I think it's hilarious. He must think we're goldfish, says Mark. Thank you for that. Let's go to Brian with us now. Hello, Brian.
How are you, Andy?
Very well. Yourself, Brian?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm just very annoyed and disappointed, really, in the quality of all of the candidates. I can't see that we could, any intelligent person would vote for any of the incumbent members. Let's just look at their history. And we've been trawling into our reserves for the last 20-odd years, and nothing has changed in the last term, so they're not any good. I've been speaking to a few of the candidates, and when you hit them with a question like, what's the common purse agreement? Or explain to me the pink and blue books. You get that blank expression across their face. they haven't got any management skills, any of the ones that I've come across. And even the gentleman from who's got a wealth of knowledge in medicine has spent his whole life practically in academia or in government employment. So he's never had to find the money during the course of the week to pay his men on a Friday. I mean, we're spending fortunes like Douglas Corporation, cutting down on services and increasing the rates out of all proportion. No proper management anywhere within government and nobody trying to address it. Chief executives walking away with fat salaries after being incompetent for decades. It's going to require a real dramatic, strong-willed bunch of individuals to pull this back into shape, and none of those are on the hustings at the moment, are they?
Well, I just wonder what you... I mean, was it ever thus? I mean, if you'd gone back 30, 40 years, would people, and I'm not saying how old you are, would people of a senior age would have thought that the new politicians were a bit rubbish anyway then? They had to learn somewhere.
No. No, 30, 40 years ago, prior to 1984, politicians weren't paid. So you had Clifford Irving, John J. Bell, and all these businessmen who were managing their business and could afford to serve as MHKs and heads of boards without having to delve into the public coffers. The argument was it was elitist, and so it was. But at least at that time, we had people who understood that if you get a budget for 20 million and you go to 100 million, most people can't afford to pay that. If you go and get an extension price for your house and they say it's going to be £10,000, you go to the bank, you borrow £10,000, and before it's finished, he wants 50. That's ludicrous that you've got to sit back and allow that to happen. Now, on this blooming populist contest, in my district, there's a certain individual. Every day now, we see a nice, pretty picture of him standing there in a new pose. And we get all this diatribe. I got up at 6:10 and I had a walk along, had a cup of tea, went to the toilet. And I don't want to know all that. I want to see what he's doing about putting something back for the TT, because it was his hand that took away the scoreboards, and look what we've got. I mean, I know it was very difficult to find somebody that could work with wood, because the 100-year-old scoreboard that was there was made of wood. Can't make them now, can we? Can't repair them now. And then spent a fortune to protect the people behind it and it with all the protective armco before pulling it down. You know, decisions. Look at Douglas. Walpole Avenue, a demolition site. The bus station, demolition. Hung up in planning the North Quay site. You can go up in town, Park Road School, Summerland, 50 years of an eyesore. And I haven't even heard an MHK whinge in the house that it's all going wrong. Have you?
Who have you heard? Are you going to be voting, Brian?
Oh, well, I'm in Onken. Can you be bothered?
Well, I mean, I don't normally class you in as somebody having a philosophy of despair, Brian, but it sounds like it.
Well, I mean, we are going to hit the buffers very, very shortly. We've been delving into our reserves for the last 20 years on a regular basis. And can you see any of these individuals having the strength to take on a department and say, that isn't going to happen. We need to make serious cutbacks. We haven't got any proper managers within government. I mean, I've managed businesses and I've done, I think, quite nicely in life. And I know the value of a pound, but there have been times when I was managing businesses where it's necessary to say to people, no, you can't have the day off, and no, you've taken the day off, and that's not acceptable, and I'm telling you, do it again, you are down the road. You have to have control. Government is totally out of control.
Okay.
Totally.
Okay.
I've just got an apology from the coroner because I was sued for a parking ticket. That's the third time they've got it wrong. Can the parking department not read registrations clearly?
Okay.
Something's radically amiss.
All right. Right, we've got to go. We're running out of time, Brian, but it's fantastic to hear from you. And please, please, for the sake of my sanity, make sure you use your vote.
Hey, you know I'm going to use my vote. Okay. It just seems such a waste of time.
All right.
Hey, why don't we stop the idiots from voting? Well, oh, and, hey, given that the House of Keys have introduced all these protections, you know, you park P, you gas safe, you have to have qualifications for everything, let's introduce qualifications to get into the Keys.
All right. Okay. Good to hear from you, Brian, as always. Thanks for calling.
A new chapter has begun at Swiss Chalet Glen Helen with the Isle of Man Farm Shop. Celebrating local Manx produce, IOM Farm Shop brings together the island's farmers, fishers, growers and makers with a boutique shop and fantastic deli takeaway service nestled in the island's most beautiful valley. Open Monday to Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30 and Sundays 10 till 4. The Isle of Man Farm Shop. Visit farmshop.im or find them on Facebook.
Got a Saniflow making strange noises? Call Sam at Redmond Services, the Isle of Man's approved Saniflow specialist for repairs, servicing and installations. Remember, Saniflow, think Samiflow. Redmondservices.co.uk.
Getting to your ideal weight can be a journey full of ups and downs, dead ends and diversions. But at Kingsley Mooty, we can keep your weight loss journey moving in the right direction with dedicated support throughout from our in-house clinical team and treatments tailored to your specific needs. Start your online consultation today at kingsleymooty.com or call 625040 to book an appointment with our trusted team. Rated 5 stars by over 100 patients. Kingsley Mooty. Your health, our commitment.
For 2 whole days of fun and entertainment,
fantastic food and drink,
a huge range of Manx craft and trade exhibitors,
and so much more.
It must be time for the Royal Manx Agricultural Show.
This Friday and Saturday at Nicolo Farm Patrick, come and celebrate the very best of Manx tradition, community and countryside.
See amazing Bold Dog Motorsports, the Young Farmers Tug of War, plus the return of the DEFA Manx Produce Marquee, showcasing the best of Manx food and drink.
The Royal Manx Agricultural Show. Visit royalmanx.com or find us on Facebook for more information and to buy your tickets. Supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Stephen's with us. Hello, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I wasn't going to ring in today, but after hearing Juan, was it Juan or Julian?
It was Juan.
Juan and Bonzo talking about taking completely over the steam packet and its ferry services. I was aghast at that, and I thought, oh my goodness me, no. The very thought of the government wanting to run the steam packet, it would be open to 24 different ideas. It would be constantly interfered with. And I think what we've got to remember is the purchase of the packet cost a packet. And we must remember what the old steam packet, admittedly it was owned by other investors, what they did, the core proposals were to build 2 new ships to replace the Ben McCree and the Manannan. They did say they would keep the Ben McCree as a dedicated backup vessel for both fashers and freight, and this would significantly enhance the island's self-reliance. And this was all done within the Strategic Sea Services Agreement, and that's where we must look to, possibly, even only leaving a golden share with the government and reselling the shares back on the open market. I'm sure there'll be a lot of island residents who would like to own a part of the company. And I think that possibly is a better way forward, because taking the company, the steam packet company, under its wing would be, in my view, another disaster, and it would cost so much money, we would be aghast at it. It's, after all, it's cost us a fortune now, which is the berth in Liverpool. I'm sure within the core services agreement of the private company, that was to be included at some point, a new berth and facility. So I would dread the government taking over completely and it becoming like Bus Vannen of the steam packet company.
Right. Okay. Stephen, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for putting that point so succinctly. Thanks for calling today. It's 5-1 on Man in Line today. More messages of them. There are foxes because I've seen them. What? This is Paulie, crossing the road in front of my van in Andrus in 1992 and 2000. I've seen foxes. I've heard rumours they were brought in by some people to start fox hunting in the late 80s. And the government turned a blind eye to this. So, and just like they tried to deny the wallabies were out there going wild and breeding. Well, wallabies, yes, I've seen wallabies, but foxes... Any foxes on the island? Oh, we got a note in, by the way, from the RNLI, and we've tried to get the RNLI to talk to us, but they won't talk to us. But the situation with the Douglas RNLI falling into the harbour thing is... They paused volunteer exercise and assessment activity at the Douglas lifeboat station for an initial period of 2 weeks, this was. This was a couple of weeks ago we heard from them. The suspension is said to be a precautionary, safety-led step which follows a review of trading progress. RNLI says the pause will allow time to carefully consider the safety and most sustainable way forward, whatever that means. We've invited the RNLI to speak to us in an interview. The opportunity has not been accepted. We are keen to speak to anybody from Douglas RNLI. If anybody wants to talk to us, please call 682 600, ask for the news team. They'd love to speak to you, 682-600, but the RNLI, founded in the Isle of Man. And it looks like a bad joke, doesn't it? Anyway, that's it. Back with another open line, and thanks to Donna on the phones today. Enjoy your Wednesday.
WINT.